The Right Gear, episode 13. Are Chromebooks good for writers? Hello, and welcome to The Right Gear on Hologram Radio, a podcast for writers that's all about the digital and analog tools we use to write. From computers and apps to pens and journals, we explore them all. I'm your host, Kay Tempest Bradford, science fiction and fantasy author, freelance technology journalist, media critic, and lover of gel pens. Last week, I promised you that we'd be doing a deep dive into Evernote this week. However, I've discovered that there are so many really awesome things about Evernote that I'm just going to have to split that episode up into a lot of different parts. So that's going to be coming up soon, and you're going to hear a lot of different voices and opinions on that episode other than mine. So it's really going to be great, and I hope that you will enjoy it. But this week, we're going to hop back into laptops and complete the laptop buying guide arc and finally tackle Chromebooks for writers. Whenever someone is out to buy an inexpensive laptop and ask me for advice, they bring up Chromebooks. And that's because any search of laptops that cost less than $500 will include about 27 billion of them. I have deep feelings about Chromebooks and Chrome OS, the operating system they run, and they're not all positive. They do offer some benefits to writers, though. Let's dive deep into whether Chromebooks are right for you. Let's start with the basics. What are Chromebooks? So this is a type of laptop that uses the Chrome operating system, or Chrome OS. Chrome, without the OS, is a browser that you can use on any computer. But Chrome OS is an operating system that is just the browser. The first question that naturally comes up is, can it run software other than a browser? Sort of. Now, Chromebooks can't run software that are made for Windows or Mac OS, but that's true of any computer that has a different operating system. There may be apps that are made for both Windows or Mac OS, but you couldn't use the Mac OS version of an app on Windows, okay? So in that way, Chrome OS really isn't that much different. What it does do is it can run web apps, apps that can run in any browser, and also a very few desktop apps that can work offline. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Because Chrome OS is just a browser, you'll need to be connected to the internet to run it at 100% functionality. Now, there are some apps, like I said, that can run offline, and they can access files stored on the Chromebook's memory and then sync those files with the cloud versions. However, this is not true for all web apps, and making this happen isn't always seamless or intuitive. So the ultimate answer to the software question is that yes, it can run software, but those offerings are very limited. Before we go deeper into that, what about the hardware? As you know from my episode about the best laptop, I have three specific criteria for narrowing down laptop choices. You need a good keyboard, a good sharp display, and internal hardware that's speedy enough to handle everything you need to do. Chromebooks tend to fall into the inexpensive laptop realm for the most part, and so the acceptable compromises that you'd accept for, say, shopping for a tiny budget laptop, like the ones that Brad Linder and I talked about, apply here as well. The Chromebooks on offer today are tons better than the ones on offer just 2 years ago. And that also means that there are some more expensive ones, and on average, they're more expensive than they used to be. You can get a Chromebook with a good keyboard, a crisp 1080p display, and enough RAM and processor power to let you keep as many tabs going as you want for under $400. It will probably be made of plastic and not the most durable thing ever, but for that price, yeah, that's to be expected. Chromebooks also tend to be really light and svelte, even the 13-inch ones, and they also tend to have long battery life. So that makes them good options for all-day carrying. You have more choices of Chromebook if you're willing to spend more than $400, but I really feel like if you're gonna do that, you might as well buy a Windows laptop. That's where I am on the Chromebook question most of the time. There are many things to like about them, and the physical aspects of Chromebooks have always been pretty attractive, you know, that thing about them being very light and svelte. But that part where the majority of the software for it is web-based means that I wouldn't suggest one for writers as a primary or a solo computer. There are people for whom Chromebooks are a fine choice, but I just don't think so for writers. Internet access is ubiquitous for many people these days, and so it seems like a laptop that needs the internet for full functionality shouldn't be a big deal. Except it is. We've all been in situations where we don't have access to decent internet, be it in hotels, while out and about, in some cafe where they cruelly keep the internet from you. People who live farther away from city centers and folks who travel in countries where internet access isn't always readily available or not affordable know all about this. Plus, there are writers who do their writing sessions in internet-free zones on purpose to minimize distractions. And yeah, Chromebooks do have apps that let you work on your stuff offline and then sync it to the cloud, but I can tell you from experience, this does not always work seamlessly. Even if you, say, load a Word file onto your computer's physical storage and then try to open it and edit it from there, you still have to jump through all these hoops to make it happen. The experience of dealing with web apps is not always as smooth as dealing with software loaded onto a Windows, Mac, or even a Linux machine. And while some people are fine with having to fiddle or work around quirks or even get a thrill from wrestling a tool into submission in order to make it work, there are plenty of others who just want things to work without hassle or energy or thought. They want to save all the thinking for the task at hand, which is writing. Plus, if you use web apps, you're at the app maker's mercy when it comes to changes. Think back to when Microsoft decided to overhaul Office, introducing that horrendous ribbon at the top of the screen. Oh my god. Plenty of people refused to upgrade their personal computers and eventually found alternatives just to avoid having to deal with that and subsequent versions of the software. But imagine if one day your entire Word interface changed without your say-so and without any option to go back to the old way, even temporarily. This kind of thing is why I'm not down with web apps as primary software. And it's why I don't recommend Chromebooks as primary or sole computers for writers. You need to have some control over the tools you use, as well as access to your files, regardless of where you are and what the internet access situation is. However, even after all that ranting, I will say that all that doesn't mean that Chromebooks are completely useless. I mentioned before that design-wise, Chromebooks tend to be light and svelte, both of which are attractive traits in a laptop. As a second laptop, when you use just for writing or just for travel, Chromebooks do have their uses. And there are a couple of ways you can get around the biggest drawbacks, the dependence on web apps, and the less than seamless experience. One way is by installing the Chrome Remote Desktop extension on both your primary computer and the Chromebook. This extension allows you to connect to a Windows or Mac laptop from any Chrome browser or Chromebook and then use that computer in a browser tab as if you're right in front of it. Now, this extension has many uses, obviously, but the relevant one here is that you can open up any app that's on your home computer, like Scrivener, and use it on your Chromebook. So that's a big score, right? It's pretty awesome. In the times I've used this method, I found that latency is not a huge problem. Whatever I typed showed up on the screen right away, and both computers responded to my mouse input. I did have speedy connection on both ends, though, and that is key. And you have to leave your computer on all the time for this to work. Now, there are ways to get some computers to wake up from sleep when they get like a signal that you want to open them up in a desktop, remote desktop situation, but that's not universal. Also, if you lose internet access on either end, you're kind of done. At least your files would be safe on your home computer in that instance. Now, the other option is that you can install Ubuntu Linux on the Chromebook. I hope to do a future episode of this podcast on whether Linux is a good choice for writers, but for now, let's assume the answer is yes and you want to load Linux, which is free, on a Chromebook. It can be done. The process isn't as simple or straightforward as doing it on a Windows laptop, and it's definitely more for folks who don't mind extra steps or wrangling than folks who want simple, straightforward, and easy. There are links on how to load Ubuntu Linux onto a Chromebook in the show notes if you're really interested. And if you do this, you'll get an operating system that behaves the way that you expect. You download your software to the onboard storage, and that software is available offline, and your files can be stored locally as well. Because Chromebooks are designed to be web-centric, they don't tend to have very large internal storage. 16 gigabytes is, I believe, the current base amount, but 32 gigabytes is better, and there are some Chromebooks that have more storage than this. Even with just 16 gigabytes, with Linux installed, you should have enough to keep your important files on hand. If you're using the Linuxed up Chromebooks as a secondary machine, as I suggest, you can use a cloud service and sync the files you want to work from your primary computer. Ubuntu Linux has a ton of available software, though not all of it will be recognizable if you're only familiar with Windows or Mac. Still, it'll be easier to find an equivalent program in Linux than it will in Chrome's offline desktop apps. Now, all of this is great, but I'm going to return to an important fact in all of this. You can do all this stuff far, far easier on any good Windows laptop, and that includes installing Linux. And as I've detailed in other podcasts, you don't need to spend a lot of money for a good Windows laptop. Chromebooks with the best internal hardware and speediest performance are usually over $400, and a few reach closer to $1,000. If you're spending that kind of money, you might as well get a PC. After all, every single benefit of Chrome OS is available to Chrome browser users. If you need to spend less than $400, there are tiny laptops that will serve you well or refurbished ThinkPads that will give you a better experience. If you want something simple and streamlined so you have to concentrate on your writing, an AlphaSmart will run you like $30 to $50. Okay, you say, I hear you, Tempest, you're not a huge fan of Chromebooks, but what if I want one anyway? Because I love web apps and Google Docs is my jam and I'm willing to fiddle around and get Ubuntu working on it. Okay, I'm not going to judge you, I promise. And to prove it, I'll even tell you which Chromebooks I suggest for those of you who really want one. The best Chromebook available at the moment is the Toshiba Chromebook 2. Now, you want to get the 2015 model of this. The 2014 model, which came before it, is also called the Chromebook 2, which could cause you some confusion. So if you look in the show notes, there are links to the exact model that you want. Anyway, Toshiba's Chromebook currently costs just $300. It has a crisp 13-inch HD display that is quite beautiful, actually, and a design that is good-looking, light, and compact. The keyboard isn't the highest quality, but it's not going to frustrate you and it's not uncomfortable to use at all. And if you like to listen to music as you write, you'll probably be pleasantly surprised by the speaker quality. There's just one drawback. Toshiba recently announced that they're not going to be making any new consumer laptops for the US market, so once their stock of these Chromebooks is gone, you might not be able to find them anymore. Now, that may not happen for a while, but if you're in the market for a Chromebook right now, I'd go scoop it up. Now, if you're listening to this podcast later, or if you go out, you know, in a few months and you really can't find the Toshiba laptop, the next Chromebook that gets high marks from all the tech reviewers is the new Dell Chromebook 13. That one starts at $430, over $100 more than the Toshiba model. It has longer battery life and a nicer build quality, and it does have a good keyboard. But as I said, I just don't think anyone should spend more than $400 on a Chromebook. And if you can get one for less than $300, that's even better, right? Another great one is the Acer Chromebook R11, which starts at $280. And this one isn't just a laptop. It's one of those two-in-one convertible laptops, so you can fold it around into a tablet, and it has a touchscreen naturally, or you can fold it up and use it like a regular laptop. The keyboard is decent, the performance is really speedy, and the build quality is really better than the price would suggest. One more to mention. Way back at CES, Lenovo announced the ThinkPad 13 Chromebook, which is coming out in June. That one will start at $400, but it may be one of the few that's worth that price tag because it will come with the excellent ThinkPad keyboard. So it's not out yet. I hesitate to give it an unequivocal go out and buy it until we see the reviews, but it's definitely something to look out for. And if you don't need to buy a Chromebook right now, that one may be worth waiting for. Links to all the Chromebooks I mentioned, as well as reviews to the relevant ones, are in the show notes. And there are also links to the extensions I mentioned and the how-to articles for installing Linux on Chromebooks. And that's all I have to say about that. Do you have strong feelings about Chromebooks, either positive or negative? If so, I want to hear from you. You can send me feedback via the website, www.therightgear.com, either as a comment on this episode or via email. You can also tweet me your thoughts at RightGearCast on Twitter or via the Facebook page, The Right Gear. And as always, that's spelled W-R-I-T-E. You can find past episodes on the website as well, including number 10, The Best Laptop for Writers, and number 11, Small and Light Laptops for Writers. You can also subscribe to this podcast there via iTunes, and now, all new, via Google Play. Or if you are an independent soul who doesn't use either of those services, our RSS feed is there for you to plug into your podcatcher. And you should totally subscribe so you won't miss next week's episode, which is an interview with author Ken Liu. Until then, I'm Kay Tempest Bradford, and I challenge you to write an entire novel on a Chromebook without internet access. The Right Gear Podcast on Hologram Radio is written and edited by yours truly and produced by head hologram Alex Knight. Our logo was created by Ashley Emma Onstott and made colorful by hologram Michael Norton. Our theme music, Kill Your Darlings, was composed by Steve Combs.